Okay, so now we're up to the Gemara here on Daf. Sugi here on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. Chatei Kedei Sheyizkeh Chavero. We began a little bit last week. So again, the Gemara here, just to remind everybody, is the Gemara has a suffix. What happens when you put food on the oven on Shabbos by accident? So the Gemara originally thought by accident. And if you leave it there, it's going to cook or bake, as the case may be. And there is an alternative, and that is to remove it from the oven. But removing it from the oven is Rediya Sapas. And Rediya Sapas, while it's not a Malacha Daraisa, is a Chachma Ve'ena Malacha. And according to the understanding of many Rishonim, what that means is that it is at least an Issa Drabanan of some sort. Could be a Shvus, could be Ubz Dechol, but it's definitely something. So the question is, are you allowed to do that Drabanan, let's say, in order to prevent the greater violation of the Doraisa, or not? And that's the discussion of the Gemara. So in the context of that, so the Gemara, just to look at it again very, very quickly, the Gemara's trying to figure out what's going on here, what is the case. So I'm going to run over it very quickly. We discussed it in terms of the Bishul part, but the Gemara says, Gufa boy rab bibi barabaya hidbik pas patan or vitir lo lirdosa konim shiava ledechi of chatos alo itiru. Did they allow you to remove the pas from the oven, even though it's a violation to Rabbanan, in order to save you from a greater violation, or not? Amalei Rav Acha bar Abaye l'Ravina hechidami. What's the case? Ilei mevishogeg v'leidkalei lemanatir. If he's a shogeg and he's still a shogeg and he's still a shogeg, then what are we talking about? He doesn't know. He doesn't ask. And there's no there's no issue of a decision because there's no question, right? Ella lav dehadar beidkar. He himself finds out that he made a mistake. And now he knows that what's about to happen. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, mi mechayev, would he actually have to bring a korban chatos in that case? But tnan kol chay v'chatos ena chayav enad shetei tchilas and bishkaga shkaga v'sofa and shkaga, that if a person knows, finds out, before the final phase of the chiyuv, there's no chiyuv chatos. He has to be a shogeg from beginning to end. We discussed last week whether or not it's so obvious that this should apply in the case of baking and cooking, because maybe that should depend whether it's front load, what I call front loaded or back loaded, meaning what's the real cooking and baking. Okay. But anyways, the Gemara doesn't accept that idea that he found out in the middle, because that would already eliminate the chatas. So the Gemara says, Ela b'mezid kodim shiov l'div skila b'boilei. If we're talking about mezid, meaning not shogeg, then instead of saying Kodim Shiyava L'day Chi of Chatos, it should have said Kodim Shiyava L'day Iser Skila. So the Gemara says, Amrav Shila Liolam B'Shogeg. Maybe we are talking about Shogeg. L'mana Tir L'Cheirin. The question isn't whether he can do Rediya Sapas to save himself from a greater violation. The question is whether or not a different individual, another person, can violate Rediya Sapas Rabbanon to save him from a Isur and Chiyuv Doraisa. So that's a fascinating idea, namely that we would be speaking about the sacrifice of Shimon, the spiritual sacrifice of Shimon on behalf of Reuven. And the question is that a legitimate concept? So the Gemara here seems immediately to reject that concept when it says, Maskeflar of Sheshes, the Chiyomrim Lola Adam, Chatei Kadeshi Yizka Chavercha. Do we really ask a person to violate, to do an aveira, in order to benefit someone else? And then the Gemara concludes, Elam Arava, Elam Ravashi, sorry, the Olam Bebezid, the Eima Kodim Shiyavala De Iser Skila. Really, we are talking about Bezid. The Girsa should be not before Chiyuv Chatos, but Iser Skila. And then the Gemara concludes, Ravacha, Breid Ravina, Mas, Labeheja, Amar Bibi, Rabbi, Hidbik, Pas Patanur, Tir Redosa, Kodim Shiyavala De Iser Skila. So we point out there are three topics in this Gemara. One topic is the relationship between Shogeg and Mezid when it comes to this kind of an issue. Do we really only care about the actual Befoal Onesh, or do we care about the Chilul and the Maisav Era? That was topic number one that we discussed already. Topic number two, which we discussed, which we finished discussing, well, to the extent that we're going to discuss it now, last week, is the nature of Bishul. When does Bishul really take place? What is the relationship between putting the food on the oven and the actual cooking and baking, right? And are there two dinim? Is it one halacha? Which is it, front loaded, back loaded? What is this relationship to Zoreya? right, various other issues. And then the third issue is the issue that we're going to discuss today, which we began last week, and that is the question of chate kedei sheyizkeh chaver. And clearly, this is a much bigger topic. This is not a Hilchos Shabbos issue. This is a, you know, global issue. It's not just a global, it's a, you know, it's a hashkafic and halachic issue. Right? The question of, even though the Gemara doesn't use the expression and the Rishonim pretty much don't use this expression either, but it's really a kind of a kol Yisrael arevim, zeh lo zeh or zeh bazeh, you know, kind of a question. Apparently there were two girsos in the Rashi and in the Parsha, right? That we just read in Parshas Chukas. But basically, kol Yisrael arevim zeh bazeh or lo zeh, which basically means every Jew is a guarantor of every other Jew. It's one of the, you know, signature, you know, ideas of Jewish life. People know this statement and this concept more than they know many other things. It's fascinating because, you know, it's really something that we take great pride in terms of differentiating Judaism from other religions. So it's a very characteristic, you know, kind of a din. And yet it's fascinating to note, I mentioned this last week, that in the Gemara itself, it actually appears in a very limited group of cases. It doesn't appear in mitzvot explicitly. It doesn't appear in spiritual sacrifice at all. It really appears in collective accountability, like the pasuk in Bechukosai, namely that the idea that if Reuven is chote, that somehow Shimon, you know, will be held accountable for Reuven's chet. Now again, there's a discussion in the Gemara, whether the Gemara in Shavuos and the Gemara in Sanhedrin, whether that's only when, you know, he knows about it and he has the ability to prevent it, which makes logical sense, or does it extend even beyond that, right? If it's that he knows and that he could prevent, so one could even understand it in very pragmatic terms. In other words, he's a kind of a co-conspirator because he doesn't bother, right, either to exert influence or threat or whatever it is. So in a sense, he's a junior partner in the crime. If you think that we're talking about a situation where even where he cannot influence or maybe even doesn't know, so then it does bespeak of the collectivity of Klal Yisrael. How could it be that Reuven is chote and Shimon is punished? You know, or that Tzibor is punished? So it speaks about the corporate level of collective responsibility of all of Klal Yisrael, which is a fascinating idea. But mostly in the Gemara, at least, it speaks about it in the negative. There is a concept of Yotze Motze. We discussed this a little bit in the very end of last week's shiur. We know that one person can make kiddush for someone else, even though he already fulfilled his mitzvah. The Gemara then has an interesting debate, which is probably connected to this. But what about Birchas Hanenin? Right, I can't make a Birchas Hanenin for my friend, but if the Birchas Hanenin is part of the Birchas Hamitzvah, like Hamotzi or Bar Priya Gafen and Kiddush Hamotzi in Lecha Mishnah and so on, so under those conditions, the Gemara is not sure what the halacha is, and there's a safek. The Shiltos actually quotes it as if there's a machlokes on that particular point, but halacha we paskin that even then we apply the din of Yotza Yotze Motzi. Rashi and earlier the Shiltos says that Yotze Motzi is based on the principle of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelozeh, but the Gemara itself doesn't say it. Either way, the Rush in Brachos of Chaf Mudeis, which I mentioned, where we talk about the question of Birchas Hamazon, women being obligated in Birchas Hamazon Daraisa, which is a suffix in the Gemara. So the Rush there describes Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelozeh not only in terms of collective chet onesh, and not only in terms of Yotze Motzi, but also in terms of other sacrifices that a Jew would willingly be obligated to make for his fellow Jew, which puts it or connects it with our Gemara. Either way, whether we invoke the terminology Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelozeh or not, clearly this question that the Gemara is discussing here and which the Rishonim discuss here extensively, whatever you want to call it, is that question. It's the question of what is the responsibility and the degree of, again, of the bond or affinity, you know, between one Jew and another, between the on the Tzibur level, on the Yachid level, etc. Because the fact is that we know that we paskin chayecha kodmin l'chayei chabercha, even though we say the haftal l'yacha kamocha. There's still an element of self-interest. Every Jew, you know, starts off being responsible for himself before he's responsible for his fellow Jew. And he's has every right in a situation where he has the means to save himself, to say, chayacha kodmim l'chayich haberacha. You can't grab somebody's means for survival from him, that obviously. But whoever has it is not obligated to give it up either, chayacha kodmim. So we understand that this element of self-interest, self-preservation is even a better terminology, better term when it comes to Jewish law, and that's totally legitimate. So the question then is, that's true in a case where we're talking about giving up your life. That's a pretty drastic, sacrifice. What about lesser sacrifices, right, that are spiritual, let's say, and that aren't as all-consuming? In other words, our Gemara, can you expect Reuven to do an Avera in order to save Shimon from a greater Avera, or not? Now you can imagine that this is going to be an important halachic and hashkafic question, that there, in theory, even before you look at the evidence, could be different approaches, right? Mikatzeh lakatzeh. You might take people who are going to take a very strong altruistic, self-sacrificing, corporate Klal Yisrael approach, meaning, yes, you have to go very far away, even at your own expense or your own risk, to save your neighbor. There might be the opposite perspective, more of a self-preservation, chayecha kodmin approach, or it might depend on the details, on circumstances, and that in two senses. Number one, it could be that it's a tough question, and therefore it doesn't, there are different factors that are going to tip the balance. In other words, it's a practically even, consideration, right? On the one hand, chayecha kodmin. On the other hand, maybe things like personal choice can come into play. We'll see in just a minute all these things that you might have predicted would be perspectives. We'll see that they really are. It could be that the degree of sacrifice and the degree of payoff come into consideration. In other words, if I have to sacrifice practically as much, and the benefit is the payoff, let's say, is small, that's different than if the gap between what I'm sacrificing and what I'm, saving is much greater, obviously. So it could be it's a quantitative question. It could be it's a qualitative question along the same lines. Another possibility is that it's about whether or not we're dealing on a tzibur level or we're dealing on a yachid level. Maybe when it comes to yechidim, right, to Reuven and Shimon, so why should Reuven fall on his spiritual sword, for the sake of Shimon? But maybe there are considerations sometimes where it isn't Shimon and it isn't Reuven, maybe the perspective is the perspective of the totality of the Tzibor. Certain issues in particular, what's best for Klal Yisrael in the aggregate, and that could have to do with, quantity of the Aveira, but more likely, the types of Averas that we're talking about. If we're talking about preventing some damage to the Tzibor, so then you take a Tzibor perspective and the aggregate, benefit justifies, the initiative of self-sacrifice and self-inflicted spiritual damage.
A monetary aspect to this.
Yeah.
Making an appeal. When are you making an appeal for funds? Same thing.
In a way, you're asking somebody to sacrifice. You're saying, so that's called tzedakah, and we always we understand that idea.
Yeah, I am my brother's keeper.
Yeah. So Kol Yisrael Roim Zel Hazeh for sure, but again, that's in terms of money.
Yes.
It's not in terms of a chatay.
Right.
So there's still a difference, right? What you prove for money is that we take this very seriously. It's not just a slogan when we say Kol Yisrael Reivim Zel Hazeh. That's absolutely true. And remember what our Reivim are. Again, this sugya may not be specifically connected with this terminology, but let's also take one more second just to analyze what the term means. Every Jew is a guarantor for every other Jew. So, how does a guarantor work? Right? It's an interesting use of terminology. It has associations. How does a guarantor work? So in the world of halakha, right, the arev is a category, right? He's really a guarantor of a loan, right? And there's a big debate how he works, whether or not really he becomes ke'ilu part of the process. He's like a second love. What's a guarantor? A lends money to B, right? B borrows money from A, and C guarantees the loan. C says to A, give him the loan. If he can't pay, I'll back him up. So in the perspective of the halakha, C, who is the arev, is seen in different ways. Sometimes he's seen as somebody who's extraneous to the process, right? But who makes a commitment, and you know his extraneous commitment is binding and effective, but he doesn't become, you know, part and parcel of the transaction. Others consider the arev to be the makom halova. He's a backup lova or a second lova. So two, when we talk about kol yisrael arevim zelazeh, what exactly do we mean? Do we mean that Reuven and Shimon are different people, right? They're each one is an island unto himself, not completely, obviously. But and what we're really discussing is to what extent, even acknowledging, right, that there's a gap between Reuven and Shimon, Shimon has to sacrifice for Reuven. Or are we really saying, when we talk about Arev, just like the guarantor who becomes merged with the Lova, that in a way it's not about sacrificing, it's about the perspective of the greater good for the group or for the two of them. In other words, there's a fusion or a merging of interests. So that, for example, instead of seeing it as, you know, Reuven and Shimon, right, it's what's good for both of them, you know, as a unit, as a collective. So for example, the Shiltos, when he talks about Yotzamotzi, says whenever you know, Reuven already made Kiddush, right, but Shimon didn't. But how could Reuven make the bracha? It should be a bracha levatala. He already did make Kiddush. How can he make it for Shimon? So Shiltos has a line in which he says, as long as Shimon has not yet heard Kiddush, Reuven hasn't fulfilled his obligation either. Okay. That's very fascinating. Meaning on some level, what the Shiltos is very ambitiously saying is that all Klal Yisrael's, at least to the extent that you can have effect or impact on the other fellow, it's all one, right, merged unit. Whereas the Ritzvah in Masachet Rosh Hashanah, and that's so, yeah, has a different explanation of Klal Yisrael Reven Delazeh. He basically says, well, the bond between members of Klal Yisrael is so strong as a tzibur, that party starts saying also, that basically, therefore, there's tzira, he doesn't say these words, therefore, what his needs are sufficiently linked to you that what you do is mitzuref to him. It's not that until he fulfills his obligation, you haven't, and therefore it isn't really yatzah, and therefore it's motzi. It is. You have fulfilled your obligation. But nonetheless, your connection with him is strong enough to justify making a bracha on his behalf. That bracha is considered to be his bracha. In a way, these two formulations echo the two ideas of Arev and echo basically the two perspectives that we're talking about. Now, if you were to ask me of these two perspectives, which one is more impressive, which one is more ambitious, right? My answer would be, I would, you know, basically throw up my hands in the air. They're ambitious in different ways. In other words, the view of the Shiltos and the view that Arevus, that guarantor, is emerging into one, is more ambitious in the first step. I mean, this idea that somehow we obliterate the, you know, the interests of individuals, and all of a sudden we see everything as, you know, the group, the unit, is an amazing kiddush, and it's a very, very powerful perspective on Jewish life. Now, once you say that it's so, meanly that you know, until Shimon, if I can affect Shimon's performance until he fulfills his obligation, my obligation is also, you know, incomplete. That's an extraordinary statement. But once I make that statement, then phase two, the next point, which is, oh, so I can make a bracha for him, that part becomes obvious because it isn't really Yatza Motzi anymore. It's, you know, Lo Yatza Legamri, and therefore a Dayan Yochol, right? Latzeis. So in a way, by being incredibly altruistic to draw that circle around them to begin with, you somewhat dilute the significance of being able to make a bracha for him. You're not really making a bracha for him, you're making a bracha for yourself. But we'll see soon, the Maariv Chayis on the Gemara here in Daled Amud Aleph says, you know, this din of chatei kedei sheyizkeh chavero, it's not for chavero, you're not doing him any favors. It's your obligation. So the idea that it's your obligation is extraordinary. Once you accept it, right, it's the phase two is not as impressive. On the other hand, if you say, Ruven l'chud, Shimon l'chud, everybody's an individual, everybody has their own obligation, Yatza, he fulfilled his obligation. But nonetheless, motzi. Meaning, I can do things for him, even acknowledging that he and I are distinct. That's, phase one isn't so impressive, because he's separate, I'm separate. Phase two is more impressive. Yeah?
It would almost seem that in that machlokes between the Ritva and the Shiltos, that the Shiltos could almost look upon a bracha by a yachid as a bracha lebatala, unless and until it's more.
Right, so you don't go that far. That's why I added the words. I kind of anticipated that. So I said, to the degree that he's able, you know, and needed to impact on his friend. In other words, obviously, you know, it's you know, there's no reason why Shimon, you know, can't also make his own bracha. So when Shimon confronts Reuven with the need for Reuven to make the bracha for him, at that point, you know, we say, oh, there's an element of Reuven hasn't completely, you know, finished his chiyuv. But to the extent that Shimon could hear it from someone else or could make it on his own, right, we wouldn't initially say, oh, there are people out there who haven't heard yet, just let him make it on his own, or let him hear it from someone else. So that's why I covered a little bit. Yeah.
If you borrow money from a gemach,
yeah,
the Milas HaSodim, mm-hmm, they insist on having an orev. You wonder why,
yeah,
for the reason that you just said.
Right.
The orevus, you hear, we have a responsibility,
yeah,
to act as an orev.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a very critical tzedakah, that is. It's a...
Could I just share with the Tzibur a reference to Yerachaim HaKadosh on the Pasuk Vatecho Chavod Sal Mishkan Vayas Mitzro Chashat Yoshev Moshe Kein Asu.
Okay.
An incredibly important Yerachaim HaKadosh is there. The Torah here in the Gala the Machbir HaKlovo Shulcha Yisrael that no Jew, one Jew can be Mekayim Kato Kula.
Oh, I've done
that. And you need all the combination of all the Jews. And he says, "The next shot you have to lerecha kamocha, because your friend is you.
He allows you
without
to
you,
to
without him, you can't exist. You can't be an observant Jew without." But it's a very,
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 nice,
a very important Orachaim HaKodesh.
Very nice, beautiful. The Shalah, I think we talked about this once. So you and I have to share. The Shalah says that the, you know, the idea of Tayag, of course, you know, requires Klal Yisrael. Can't do it on your own. And I don't know if this is his comment or my comment, but some of the, you know, many of the Mefarshim who speak about Tayag, speak about his Ramach, you know, the number of Ramach, Evarim and Shasa Gidim.
Yeah, he mentions that too.
He does that. Also does that. So in a way, what you're saying is that, you know, symbolically, what that means is the limbs of the body, right? So, you know, it's to be a well-oiled and machine or an effective machine.
The liver has to be covered.
Right. So that's a beautiful. Anyway, so we talked theoretically a lot, so now let's speak concretely. What do people really say about this question of self-sacrifice? So what we're going to see is that there are a range of shitas, and, you know, now having done a little bit of an introduction, hopefully we'll appreciate not only their presence, but that, you know, Rishonim really thought about these things in a very creative and important way. And you'll see that there are very important nafkamina. This is a topic that, you know, we could sit on for many, many weeks. We're not. We're just going to spend today on it. Next week we'll move on. But it's a very, it's a window into many things. You know, it's obviously the kind of topic which is very important. So Tosas here, v'chiyomer lo adam chatei b'shvil sheyizka chavercha. This is one of the Tosas. This is one of the main Gemaras about this topic. Our Gemara is unequivocal about the self-interest of each Jew, not the selflessness. Not, I wouldn't say selfishness, but there's no need to say b'chiyom l'adam chatei kadei sheyizka chamer. Meaning, he's not obligated to step in for his friend, right? To sacrifice spiritually. So the question is, why not? Tosus asks v'had amar b'pekoma arvin. There's another gemar neirvin that Rabbi Savar nichale lechaver d'liyavid iser kalila. Now, the truth is, if you look at the sheets that we gave out last week, right? So I have the Gemara in the second entry, is the Gemara in Erevin, starting from number 7. The Gemara actually records a debate about this. What the issue is as follows. The question is, there's a rule that when it comes to being mafresh, trumas ma'aseros, you can't be mafresh min amukaf. Meaning you have to be mafresh trumos ma'aseros when you separate them from the you know, the tevuah that is in front of you, right? I mean, amukaf means, you know, when it's not there, when it's not present. So the Gemara has a debate: what if the, you know, this kaver, this talmid chacham, you know, asked the amah aretz, you know, to bring him or to separate for him, etc., and he's worried that he's going to eat it as tevel. Right, so is he allowed to be? But he's not there. Is he allowed to be mafresh trumas ma'aseros to make sure that it isn't tevel, even though he's not present? That's min amukaf, and midrabanan, there's an iser to be mafresh min amukaf. Can he violate this drabanan in order to prevent the other fellow from possibly? That's also an issue, not definitely, but very possibly violating the daraisa of tevel. So the Gemara says there, but my kamif, there's an argument. Rabbi Savar nichale lechaver d'liyaved hu isurei klila. It's preferred for the Talmud Chacham, right, to do an isur kal v'lo le'eved am ha'aretz isura rabba. The reason for the Talmud Chacham and the am ha'aretz here is not because of their stature. If anything, if it was because of their stature, you'd probably go the other way, maybe. But also, when it comes to mitzvos and these kind of things, Judaism doesn't know from, obviously, the... You know, the requirements and the need to safeguard people from averos, and the requirements of mitzvos are equal for Talmid Chachamim and for Amei Aretz. The issue of Amei Aretz and Talmid Chacham here is just the idea that Amei Aretz either don't know or aren't as careful about Tevel, whereas Talmid Chachamim are. So what the Gemara is saying here is better that the Talmid Chacham should be mafresh shalom and amukaf in order to save the Amei Aretz from this more severe
is Rabbanan versus the Uraiso because Tevel's the Isur Chorus.
Or because?
Tevel's Isur Chorus, no?
Maybe both, hard to know. Rabban Shimon Gamliel Savar, because either way it's Isur Rabbah, even if it's not Chorus, it's Uraiso. Rabban Shimon Gamliel Savar, Nichale Lechaver Dili Eved, Ama'aretz Isurai Rabbah, the Chaver says, listen, I'm doing everything properly, so I'd rather he violate. Then the EU up to the Mr. Klila, not because he's a Talmud Chacham, just because, you know, he's why should he fall on his spiritual sword? That's basically what it is. Anyways, the Gemara seems to conclude with Rebbe that Nichale Lechaber Deliavid Yisr Klila Deliavid Amar Yisr Rabba, not like Rishim Ben Gamliel. It's fascinating if there's an argument there in light of some of the things that the Rishonim are going to say, as we'll see in a moment. I mean, it's fascinating to note that there's still a dissenting view there. But the simple reading of the Gemara, Zohi Paskin like Rebbe, that in this case, we do ask the Talmud Chacham to sacrifice. And that's what bothers Tosus, because our Gemara says that we, you know, don't require this kind of sacrifice, and the Gemara in Erevin seems to require it. So that's what Tosa says. V'had amar b'kom arvin, Rebbe sabar nichal lechaber d'levedi surah kalilu v'levedi amaretz surah rabbah, hosam kideshe le'yochal amaretz tevel al yado. Ah, the amar lei malei l'cha kalkala shal te'enim mitenasi. Aval haka shlo nasa Yisrael yado ein omer lechatei afilu Yisr kal sheliyavu chavero lidei Yisr chamor. Tosa starts off by making a very critical distinction. Tosa says there the Am Aretz is being tempted or you know is put in a situation where he very well might violate because of something that the Talmud Chacham asked him to do or told him to do. In a way, there's a level of responsibility. Right? He's not a neutral third party. Our Gemara is talking about somebody who's a neutral party. In other words, Reuven put food in the oven, right? Unwittingly. Didn't know it was Shabbos, didn't know it was Aser to do that, whatever. Shimon sees it, and Shimon has the ability to do Radia Sapas to save Reuven. But Reuven put the food in the oven not because Shimon told him he was hungry, right? Nothing to do with Shimon. So we want to know whether or not whether Shimon, a bystander, is obligated to make spiritual sacrifices for Reuven. But in the case of the Gemara in Erevin, we're not talking about bystanders. We're talking about two people who had a relationship. We're talking about the Talmud Chacham asking the Amaretz to do something and then saying, Aidei, you know, he's an Amaretz, you know, there's a very good chance that he is not going to be makbid to be mafresh Trumas HaMaisers here. So he, you know, ended up being machshil, this fellow. But he didn't do it intentionally, right? So the question is, can, you know, should he violate a lesser violation in order to prevent the, you know, Reuven from a greater violation, which in part was caused by him? Now, So the Meiri, when he quotes this answer, many Rishonim quote this answer, says, in that respect, he goes to take us a giant step further and says, since really he is responsible for the predicament, so it's really about saving himself. It's really about, you know, self-preservation. Now that is a little bit extreme. Because I put him in a situation where, you know, he, given his level of either observance or information or knowledge, you know, is going to violate, does that really mean I'm a partner, you know, in the Saveira and I'm saving myself? That's how the Meiri understood it. There were a couple of other Rishonim understood it that way as well. According to that view, right, there is not even, at least according to the evidence so far, there's never a situation where Shimon sacrifices for Reuven. There's only a situation where Shimon, right, you know, is saving himself, right? It's an internal matter completely. The Baal HaTosfos don't seem to say that. The Baal HaTosfos seem to acknowledge that this is a situation where Shimon is acting on behalf, not of himself, but of Reuven. Shimon is obligated, but if Shimon put Reuven in a situation of Iser Rabba, then Shimon should take responsibility, even to the point of Iser Kalila. Okay, that's what it seems from our Tosfos. But even so, if you draw the line, if this is basically the way you see it, so then the default is that Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh, whatever you want to call it, does not apply in matters of Aveira, right? There's one exception or exceptions only in the situation where Shimon is part of the cause, he's part of the problem. Even if we don't go as far as the Rishonim like the Meiri who say it's self-preservation, maybe it is preserving your neighbor, but preserving your neighbor only applies when you have a causal role in his needing preserving. Okay. And that still is very, very limited. Okay.
So that, but how does it apply?
Right. So the question is, I mean, Gorm ben Zikin is Potter, but you know, it's number one, lots of Sidei Shemayim. There's that concept as well, and you know, we mean that legally, you know, he might be exempt. I mean, it's a debate also, but you know, Garmi and Grama, but the point is that here there's like a moral issue. You know, in addition, it's not a question of whether he's chayiv, it's a question whether the right thing for him to do is the Iser Kal, to save the other fellow from the Iser Kalmor, which he himself is connected to. Anyways, so that's Tosfos. This, if you walk away from this Tosfos, and certainly even more so from the Meiri, you'd say the main Gemara, I mean the mainstream view is our Gemara. Namely, the real rule is the Chiyor Mevladam Chatei Kadesh Yizka Chavero? Certainly not. I, Erevin, Nichalei Lechaber, Liavid, Yisr Kalila, right, Velo Liavid, Chavero, Yisr Rabba? That's an exception. And it's a very particular case where he is responsible. Okay, good. Then, Tosfos goes on. This part we've read already. So the Omer Rivad, Afilu Mad Bekatzmo Ein Lifshot Misham Lahatir. Even if we're talking about the Kai who puts the stuff in the oven himself, you know that even then, the Hasam Adayin Lo Nasa Iser Mutav Shiyasa Iser Kavali Yasa the Iser Chamor Hal Yado. Avalacha Ma'isa Shalisa Kvar Nasa Mimele Yigmar Lo Yasa Afilu Iser Kavli Adayin. Okay, that part we discussed last week. Basically, Tosis says here, by the way, whatever you're going to say, Madbik Paspatanor might just be different for a different reason, and that is you're not preventing an Aveira. Right? The Aveira, or the Maisa Aveira, at least the Kumbase of the Aveira, took place already. What you're doing is allowing for, if you do a Kumbase, you can revise history, and you can be Oker, the Kumbase Aveira, Lemafreya. But that might be different than being actually able to prevent an Aveira from taking place, even the Maisa Aveira from taking place. We talked about this last year, week, in terms of Bishon and so. Okay, fine. Then Tosfos goes on to say, V'hod etznan, there aren't just these two Gemaras in Shas. Namely, our Gemara here, Chiyomim L'Adam, and the Gemara in Erevin, right? Nichalele Chaver. There are other Gemaras to look at. For example, the Sugya in Hashaleach, which says that Misha Chetzio Eved Chetzio Ben Chorin Kofenis Rabo V'Oso Oso Ben Chorin. If you have a Chatzio Eved Chatzio Ben Chorin, let's say you have an Eved that is owned by two owners, and one of them was Meshachar, so he's left. He's a Chatzio Eved Chatzio Ben Chorin. So the mission there says Kofenis Rabo V'Oso Oso Ben Chorin. We force the remaining owner to liberate him under these conditions. Afagav the Bahai Pirka in the same parak Amrav Yehuda Kol Mishacherer Eved Avdo Sari Over Basay Del Olamahem Tavodo. You're not allowed to gratuitously, right, free a slave. That's the rule. Olam Bahem Tavod. So, what's the reason that we're interested in freeing him? Because he's stuck. He's a Chatziyav, a Chatziyav Ben Chorin. He can't marry a Shifka. He can't marry a. So we want to, we want to alleviate his plight. So to alleviate his plight, we should violate Olam Bahem Tavodu. The Gemara here says, the Chiyomim L'Adam Chatei Kedei Shiyuska Chaveiro. And we don't have the excuse that he caused it. He didn't cause it. So the Gemara says, the Tosaf says, another chiluk. Shiny period of Arivia, the mitzvah rabbi, the ability for him to have a life and to produce children, that's called mitzvah rabbah. Ah. So now we have a new factor. Right? The stature of the mitzvah. A mitzvah rabbah means in a quantitative way. Or mitzvah rabbah means in a qualitative way. Or maybe even more. Maybe mitzvah rabbah, what?
Maybe like the Rabbi Elazar, mitzvah the Rabbi Shammai, that is the breadth of the...
Meaning maybe it's not only quantitative, and it's not even just qualitative. This is maybe another factor saying there are certain mitzvahs, like we said before, where it isn't Reuven and Shimon. This is a mitzvah that affects the tzibor, Klal Yisrael. Whenever you speak about Klal Yisrael, then Kal and Chamor, right, emerge. Because Chayech HaKodmin, that's when it's between you and the Rabbonu Shalom, and him and the Rabbonu Shalom. It's a choose between you or him. But when Klal Yisrael is affected, right, so then maybe Yitzhak Rabbah is like mitzvah the Rabbim that we find in other Gemaras. And that's exactly what Tosfos then quotes. We're not sure if that's what he means here, but Kidim Mishani Hasam Rabbi Lazar, exactly what you just said. Shenichnas LeBeis HaMedrash. The Gemara tells a story, but Rabbi Lazar came into the Beis HaMedrash. Before we were here, we all had to wait because it was they were davening Maariv. So Baruch Hashem, they didn't have to be Meshach or any Avadim. It looked like it was a very robust minyan, right? But Rabbi Lazar came into the Beis HaMedrash. LeMatzah Sham Yud. He didn't find 10, right? So sometimes on Yontif, we couldn't make the Hashkama minyan, because we couldn't find any avodah to be Meshachar. So the Shichar is Avdo, Vashlimo the Yud, right? So he was Meshachar his Eved, made him into a Jew so he could count him to the minyan. So how could he do that? After all, there's a violation of La'olam Bahem Savodu. Right? The Gemara calls it Mitzvah Babavera, actually, even though it's not the same meaning as Mitzvah Babavera in Sukkah and in Brachos. I'm sorry, and in Brachos, and especially in Bava Kamma. But we understand what it basically means. So the Gemara says, Mitzvah derabim shiny. Meaning, since the whole tzibur was going to benefit. Number one, there are many people who are benefiting from this. It's one man's avera, but the tzibur benefits. Probably it means not just the people who are in the minyan. It means the concept of a minyan is a tzibur idea. In that sense, tzibur shiny. Not just a collection, aggregate of X amount of people, whoever was gathered for the minyan. Meaning, this is a Klal Yisrael, it's a tzibur idea. So if the question is, which one of these should be interpreted in light of the other? In other words, the Bali Tosas here, and if you look at Tosas in different places, sometimes they use the expression mitzvah de rabim by Piri Revia 2, or mitzvah rabba by, even though the Gemara uses the expression mitzvah de rabim in Rabbi Eliezer, meaning which are two ways to look at the equation here, if indeed we are equating them. Right, we could have just said they're different. Right, one is to say that just like the minyan is mitzvah de rabim, and it's a concept. Oh, we're not looking at this from the point of view of Reuven and the point of view of Shimon. We're looking at it from the point of view of the Tzibor, Klal Yisrael, right? So who adin the mitzvah de rabba of what? Piri Verivia. That makes a lot of sense because Piri Verivia isn't just about individuals and their personal legacy. The reason that Piri Verivia is one of the earliest mitzvahs in the Torah is because it's about the Tzibor. Right, that's one of the reasons why it's such a Chamor and Rabba mitzvah. It's about continuity of Klal Yisrael, right? Or is it the opposite? Mitzvah Rabba of the period of Arivia shows you that even if it isn't a mitzvah the Rabbim, but this is pretty evenly, this whole idea of Klal Yisrael Arivim Zelazeh, Chayacha Kodmin, they're pretty close. You need to tip the balance. And mitzvah rabbin, mitzvah rabba, right? Now again, even then, does that mean quantitative, then qualitative? What exactly does it mean? It's still open to question, but it's not telling us, it's on the level of Yechidim, it's Reuben and Shimon, not Reuben, not Klal Yisrael. Okay, that's really what we're trying to figure out. Okay. The Od Yesh Lomar, and this becomes even more crucial. So far we have, the first day of Tosis was, right, the rule is, spiritual survival, preservation. That's the rule. With an exception, when you are the cause, right? Then we have mitzvah derabba, mitzvah derabim. We're not sure how to interpret that, but that's another way of it. Depends. It's all in the particular details. Either yachid and rabim, or level of mitzvah. What's the payoff? What's the sacrifice? Now Tosfos comes up with the exact opposite of the first idea. Odei Shlomar, the Dafka Hecha, the Pasha, Komar v'Chiyomar Mal Adam Chatei, Kadesha Yizke. Meaning, the exception is not the Gemara in Eruvin; it's the Gemara in Shabbos. Because what happened in Shabbos? Reuven is a shogeg, right? But still, who told him to be a shogeg? Right, Zil Kari Berab. He should have gone to yeshiva. He looked at his calendar. He should have made sure he knew it was Shabbos, or that he knew that what was also on Shabbos. So in a way, what he did was a pshia. I have to cover for him not only when circumstances converge to make him violate. I have to cover for him even when he was just careless, right, and reckless. I have to clean up his mess. Right? And here too, I think one could explain it in one of two ways. You might say, and I don't think this is the normal pshat, but I think it's a way to explain this phenomenon. You might say, every time we invoke Kol Yisrael Reim Zelazer or something like it, we're working with the idea that Tzibur. What we're saying is, don't look at it as Reuven and Shimon and their individual rights. What's better for Klal Yisrael? For Klal Yisrael, it's better that an Iser Klila should be done than an Iser Kamur, in the aggregate of Klal Yisrael. However, some things don't get to be looked at as the aggregate of Klal Yisrael. That's when things happen to people, or happen, then you say, it's everybody's issue. It happened to Reuven, but it's everybody's issue. Reuven's a chafetz here. You know what I mean? But when Reuven is responsible for his own plight, we don't look at it from the Tzibur point of view. The recklessness, right, of it makes it Reuven, makes it an individual issue. Whenever it's an individual issue, right, Hayecha Kodbin, V'chayecha Berecha. So then the point is that the Pshia is the factor that determines that we will not default look at this from a Tzibur point of view. That's, I think, a way to look at it. I don't think that's necessarily what Tosis has in mind. I think Tosis is much more straightforward. Tosis is just saying, listen, if he's a victim, an understandable victim, then Kol Yisrael Aren Zelazeh, then Reuven, then Shimon, the individual, sacrifices for Reuven. But Shimon doesn't have to sacrifice for Reuven's carelessness and his recklessness. Just not... number one, there's no end to it. And number two, it's just, we don't look at it the same way.
And by the way, Erevin, and over there?
No, so Erevin then becomes the rule. In Erevin, it's nobody's carelessness.
The carelessness, he doesn't know that she has to take a tevel.
Okay, but that's not, that's because he just doesn't, that's a category.
Same show he gets by Shabbos.
What's that?
He doesn't know what Shabbos, he doesn't know what
the
tevel.
Right, so we consider this to be more of a pshia than... Amiaris across the board just don't know this, and this individual didn't look at his calendar, or he didn't learn Malacha, Yomis.
Part of the responsibility, because he told there was the first answer in Tosfos that he had part of the responsibility.
No, we're trying to suggest that it could be. You're saying both answers are true. It could be. You could say both answers are true. I mean, there too, it would have been his lack of responsibility, but it's also his cause. That's what you're suggesting. Or maybe just the level of Shia is not as great. Yeah.
Let's say that Shita that says, Chate, I saw your friend shouldn't have a worse sin. And he doesn't do it. So what is he Yovan? If you say he's Yovan...
Who? I mean, Shimon doesn't sacrifice?
Yeah, he doesn't do it. Yeah. So what is he Yovan? If you say he's Yovan... Kol Yisrael Avein Himself is there. You could say either that's a Rishus, you see.
We'll or get to
you
it.
Say it's a Mitzvah Sasei.
Very good. Excellent. What's not clear is in two directions. Number one, what you're asking. If we were to paskin that Shimon is supposed to make a sacrifice, right? Is it a Chiyuv? Is it a Rishus? If it's a Chiyuv, so does he violate something? Or he just should have done it? Not so clear. What's also not clear is in the other direction. When Shimon is supposed to make a sacrifice and he does, on his permanent record, is there a violation? I mean, we told him to violate. Right? It's hard to say that he would be nanosh for such a thing if we tell him to, because that's the norm. So what we see again, and this is part of the earlier sugya, part one of the sugya of the three, and that is being responsible or doing a ma'isa aveira or being linked to a chetza shel aveira is a big deal. Even in a situation where, you're anus or you're shogeg. So telling somebody, you're not going to get an onus for this because we want you to do it, but do it is not a simple thing. That's a very inspiring idea, in a way, right? The ma'isa aveira. But your question is very good. It's really not in these makoros. It's some of the achronim speak about the later achronim. In the Rishonim itself, it's just very unclear. Except the Rishus Kova question, which I'll get back to in a minute. Anyway, this is basically the first answer of Tosis says mostly that self-preservation. The second answer of Tosis says, well, Yochid Rabim, Rabba, Klila, what's the benefit, etc. And the third answer of Tosis is saying, Erevin is Ikar, Shabbos is an exception. Shiny, Shia, although we're explaining it still in different ways. Now, then Tosus goes on to say, once you say that,
Shia here is, even though he's shogeg, it's still considered a Shia?
In the sense that, he should know, he should learn better, he should know better, yeah. Yeah. Because this part of the Gemara is still thinking it's shogeg.
Right, right.
It's called Chomer, if it's Bezid, I mean.
Right.
A shogeg is a Ma'isa Aveira, and he does bring Korban. We'll see actually some things about that in a moment as well. So Hodamar, then the Osi Shapir, what Tosfos then says, according to this third answer, namely that the exception in a way is Shabbos because of the Pshia, so he says then we'll be able to explain something else, another Gemara. And we can see they're scouring Shas, right? Hodamar, Beresh, Tamid Dishcha, Osi, Asei, the Pesach, Sheish, Bakares, the dachi aseid hashlama, the kaavri kohanim baseid hashlama, makrivin the mechusar kipurim kaparasa kadesh yavi pischo. What's that? Gemara says m'sachim that if somebody is mechusar kipurim, meaning he's not allowed to bring a korban because he was in a state of tuma, whatever, he has to bring a certain korban, right, in order to, you know, to allow him to now participate in korbanos, right? That's mechusar kapar. So if it's erev Pesach and the only way to bring the korban mechusar kipurim, right, is after the tamid shabein arbayim, right, but before the korban Pesach, so the kohanim are allowed to do that. They're allowed to violate the iser of aleha hashleim. We call it hashlama because the pasuk says aleha. So we say aleha hashleim, meaning the last korban of the day should be the tamid shobein arbayim. So we allow you to bring, you know, first of all, the korban Pesach itself violates that rule. Okay, that's one of my proofs always, that it's outside of the regular mizgeret of korbanos. But the point is, about Mechusa Kippurim shouldn't violate that rule, because Mechusa Kippurim is a regular korban. Normally it is brought within Aleha Shleim. But if you have no choice, and the only way to be machshir him for Korban Pesach is to bring this Mechusa Kippurim and have violate Hashlama, we tell the Kohen to go ahead and do it. So why should the Kohen do a Maisa Veira? Right? In order so this individual should be able to bring a Korban Pesach? Right? That's the question. Oh, Rishonim asked that question. A lot of Rishonim asked that question. So Tosa says, oh, I don't think it's a question anymore if you hold that Pshia, right, is the Koveya. Anything less than Pshia, we do say Chatei Kedeshi Yizke. So the Kohen will be Chote. Now again, you didn't tell me that the Kohen here has an Onesh or a violation, even a violation on his record. It's probably very hard to believe. Right. But is he doing something which normally is a problem, and which is viewed here also, according to Tosis at least, maybe that's the answer, but according to Tosis, is an objective violation of Beis HaMikdash and Korban protocol, and maybe even an Aveira, or a violation of Hashlama, so it seems.
So the Pshia is the Tsar, not the coin.
There's no Pshia here.
Huh?
Here. No Pshia here.
He says the...
He's saying there's no Pshia, therefore...
Pshia, but had there been Pshia, it would have been the Tsar that's the Tomei.
But the point is, he was Tomei a week ago, 2 weeks ago,
but
whatever it was.
No.
The Kohen is sacrificing in order that the other fellow can bring a Korban Pesach. Why does he have to do that for him? The answer is, the other fellow, isn't considered a Poshe at this point. He just needs to get his Mechusar Kippurim in order to be kosher for Korban Pesach, and therefore you can violate. Now, what kind of violation? That's the other point. I'm trying to make two points at the same time. But okay. Anyway, the Chain, similarly, the Perik Basar Deiravin, Kohen Sheninsa Yaveles, a Kohen has a mum of some sort, Yaveles, right? Chavero is Chaver Kohen, Chotechas Lo Bishinav. He can cut it off with a shinu, even though normally you're not allowed to do that. Avagav davis shvus, right? But he can do that to be machshir him for the korban. So again, we have the chatei, ein omrim chatei kedei sheyizke chavero. The answer is omrim chatei kedek avid iser klila, right? Kedei limnoa iser chamura, as long as it's not posheya. He wasn't posheya. The gabi chetzi shifu chetzke basmorin. Oh, so let's say you have a female slave, and she's shifra chetzi baschorin. So there's no obligation, period of arivia, because it's a woman. She doesn't have that obligation. Nonetheless, the Gemara says that you force the adon to free her, because, again, it's just not a healthy situation that she can't have any kind of relationship. And, we're worried that she'll be involved in a prohibited manner. So Tosus explains, Shenagu b'minag hefker, the kafuas rabba b'asholeach, b'shem shoyis, and b'chazeres, m'amtsi atzma, liznus, v'dumi l'onsin, v'havanami commits for the rabbi. I mean, this is something which, this isn't a healthy situation for Jewish society in this area. And therefore, this too constitutes a basis, a rationale, for lola violating lola, what it otherwise would be, the Isra of La'olam b'em Savod. So this is Tosus's presentation. You can see already within the Bali Tosus a wide range. Now, if you look at the Ramban, just it gets a little bit wider, and the Ritva even more. Just wanted to look at them very quickly. And you can see the development, again, of, you know, the topic as you go through the generations of the great, you know, Ramban in the Bali Tosus, he's working off of that, but he has his own Haros. So the Ramban here says, V'chiyom v'adam chatei k'bishvil shi'iz k'chamercha, kasha l'beinu tam, amina be'erevin, v'perek, v'akol marvin, nichle v'chavad levin, yuisakli v'liyavid, amaris, yisra, same question, same Bali Tosus question, Rabbeinu Tam's question. The kasha l'hu adar mina b'psachim, shakoin over ala seyda shlama, makriv karban v'chusa kippur, merivikar v'psachim, shalayel v'chaver l'idei yisra karis. Right? One of the questions Bali Tosus asks from the Sugya and Psachim we just discussed about the violation of the law of Hashlama, right, bringing a Karban after Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim. Why should a Kohen do that just for some guy, you know, who can't bring a Karban? That's not his problem. Why should the Kohen be stick his neck out, right?
Why would there be an Isa Kohen?
I'm sorry?
Why would he have an Isa Kohen?
Who?
If he's Tamid.
And he can't
bring the Korban Pesach. Right, the point is because
he's not
it's an opportunity for him to bring the Korban Pesach.
Yeah, but he's not
Chayav Koraz. Okay, it's still a mitzvah to bring Korban Pesach, and this is a way for him to bring to what is a Chiyav Koraz. The Chiyav Koraz there isn't so much like what's threatening him as much as it is a shiur in the urgency or the stature of the mitzvah, in my opinion. Okay. Yeah. So, anyways, listen to this. So, Ramban does not give Tosus's answer. Instead, again, that's why I say there are tremendous insights. We just can't do this for too long, but how you answer these on each topic, there are insights. Ikalameimar shiny kohanim deshluche Yisrael shavinu rachmano v'hu enayachal zakos miatzmo, meaning the Yisrael here. I mean, the person who needs the kapara of Mechusa Kippurim, he doesn't have any choice. He's dependent on the Kohanim. And from that point of view, Kohanim are Shluchei, right?
Didan.
They're also Shluchei Durachmana, but they're Shluchei Didan. So what is Ramban's basic, this is an interesting perspective of the Ramban, right? First of all, he's saying, had he been able to do it himself, then the fact that they're Kohanim wouldn't matter. But the fact that he's reliant on the Kohanim, right, and the makes the decision of the Kohanim, no longer an individual. It's not, you know, it's not Shimon sacrificing for Reuven. It's basically Shimon, the Shliach of Klal Yisrael, making a decision what to do about adding another member of Klal Yisrael to Karban Pesach. So I think the Ramban is saying something profound about, you know, Kohuna here. Because we know the debate about Shluchin Rachmana, Shluchin Didan, but it's an interesting, you know, nofech. Well, you might say, an interesting dimension of that. But also, it works very nicely according to the perspective that, you know, maybe the real criterion here is, you know, Betoras Tzibur or Betoras Tu Yechidim. Right. And I would add that, you know, I'll add what the Tosa Rosh says, which I should have put on the page, but I didn't. The Tosa Rosh on the spot says about this case, Shaini Korban Pesach, right, the mitzvah, the rabbim, they knew.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa, what does that mean? Ah, so again, without going too much into Korban Pesach right now, but we've talked about it before, Pesach in the past. Yeah, so number one, the whole makar of Shulchan Shonim Kemoso, according to one day in the Gemara in the second parak of Kedushin, which many years back we did, you know, is based on that idea because it says, V'shachatu also kol kal Yisrael, and then what Simcha just quoted, the Gemara says, what? Every single member, you know, was standing there, you know, holding the Shechita knife. The answer is that it's a Shechita on behalf of Klal Yisrael. But there's tremendous amount of evidence, and we've spoken about this in many years past, that Korban Pesach is a Tzibur idea. The Gemara in some places calls the Korban Pesach a Korban Tzibur. In other places it treats it and calls it a Korban Yachid. Sometimes it calls it a Korban which is brought b'kinufya. And the point is that it is brought, it's brought b'chabura. Right, everybody brings it. Right, it's not like a korban tzibur that there's one korban fall of Kali Yisrael, but everyone's bringing it at the same time. And a lot of the evidence is that, you know, I've probably said this many, many times, that, you know, korban Pesach, the mitzvah seishes bakares, is the tzibur parallel to bris milah, you know, the aseishes bakares of the individual. And there are a lot of riots for that idea. So I think one of the riots is that Tosfos Rosh is helping us on two levels. So Tosfos Rosh says, what are you talking about? Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach is mitzvah the rabbin, because it's a korban tzibur. Is it really a korban tzibur? What he means is, even though befoal, it's brought by chaburas, but it's all brought bikinufi at the same time. And it's a korban shel klal Yisrael, basically. So the chiyomrim l'adam chatei kedei sheyizkeh, when it comes to the tzibur, similar to what the Ramban is saying. Ramban is saying about kohanim shluchi didan in general. Right. This is something more specific to korban Pesach, but it's a very fascinating Tosfos Rosh. Anyway.
It could be that klal Yisrael became an am.
That's what I'm saying. Hayom hazeh ni'eseh le'am wasn't just at Har Sinai; it was also in the Kura Barzel of Mitzrayim. That's what I'm saying. That's one of the main, I think, themes of Pesach. Anyways, this is the Ramban. So then the Ramban adds something else, which is also very important. Binami shiny hidvik pas betaner b'shogeg delav iserhu she'efshel yiskaper b'chatas. Whoa. So the Ramban here throws in another idea, and that is a very crucial idea that not everybody agrees with. The Ramban says maybe our Gemara is the exception, right? But not for the reason that Tosa says, because our Gemara is a poshea. Maybe our Gemara is the exception because what will happen here? I'll call Sarasha lo tavo. You're not going to intervene. What's going to happen? He'll bring a korban chatas. Not only is it still only shogeg, but it's shogeg, and the Ramban seems to be saying here the chatas completely neutralizes it. Maybe it's even better for him. He'll get the kapara. Fascinating view about kapara's chatas that not everybody agrees with. Not even the Ramban himself in other places doesn't seem to agree fully with this idea, meaning the kaparas chatas is a benefit and totally neutralizes the avera. Wow, if that's really true, then there's not such a big need to save him here. But in a case where the benefit of saving him is great, you don't say kiyom dal adam chate. Maybe it's not considered chate. Yeah.
Even more than that, it's even just the fact there's a potential for a chatas makes it not. Meaning it's she'efer.
Well,
Efshar b'chatas, not even the chatas itself. I mean,
that's the other alternative.
The possibility of chatas makes it not necessary to begin with. I mean, it's more than just.
I don't know about that. I think what he's saying is the alternative here, if you don't intervene, is that he'll get the chatas. Is the chatas
right?
Is chiyuv chatas, or maybe maybe Efshar here means, assuming he'll bring it. But you're going to violate. You're going to let him violate.
But he's saying it's not even.
But he could bring the chatas, and he should bring the chatas.
Right.
But what does it mean? He's
I don't think he means. Right. I don't think he means a situation.
What it sounds like is that the shogeg itself isn't even really missing.
I think he's saying there is a shogeg. It is my savera. We clap al ched on the shogeg, but it's efshal lechatas. There's a better way to neutralize this here instead of doing isa drabanan to lemafreya undermine it. After all, he should just bring the chatas.
And why is
and that'll do it all.
So why is in Rodi Yasser al Tuchusla? Meaning it's more than that. He's wearing Yasser.
I think there's a mistake in the text. It should be the Ein Rodi Yasser Zchuslo Sheyipater Mekarba. I think it's I think there's a mistake in the. This is the Bar Ilan. But I think it's the Ein Rodi Yasser Zchuslo Sheyipater Mekarba. He's not doing him any favor.
Right.
That's what if the Girs is right, then what he's saying is, this is just like a Lefnim Meshura Sadin to get him out of a korban.
Right.
Either way, if this text is right.
Yeah.
But it means one of those two things. Either way, the Ramban is making a statement here which is very, very strong. And again, his Perish Alatori does not say this where he could in a couple of places, that, bringing a chatas really completely negates the Aveir. It's not just it's not like an Ashram or a
last week, but I still don't. We haven't gotten to it. I don't think.
Yeah.
Do we say chatei omer alon chatei by case of skila? What is it, b'mezi?
In our Gemara, we don't know.
The friend is there, and he says, "I can save you from these skila," and he doesn't be a
surprise. Well, it depends on some of these issues, right? Well, we'll get to it. Obviously, if the idea is an onus as opposed to pasha, then kal v'chomer mezid.
Right,
we'll get to that.
It can't be this popular.
In these cases, are all cases of korban. These are all cases of chunk.
But nobody's discussing it in reference to skila.
Not yet. Yeah. So the ritva adds another important element. Some of you had asked this week and last week, is this obligatory? Right? Or is this an option?
Mm-hmm.
That's a very fascinating question. Because what we have here is a very interesting issue. In other words, you might say just in principle there can't be any kind of flexibility here. Right? The halacha has to take a stand one way or another. Right? That might be your view. Meaning we see both sides and we, you know, require a decisive and definitive. In other words, is Chayecha Kodman? Is it not? Is it Koyisrael or Eim Zelazeh? Is it not? Do we look at it from the Tzibor point of view, Rabba versus Klila, quantity, quality, whatever you want to say it, or not? But the answer should be definitive, right? But the Ritva came up with this both here and in Erevin, came up with this idea that maybe the seeming stira in the Gemaras is really just a distinction between, you know, when doesn't obligate you. That's our Gemara. The Chi Omrim Allah Adam, mean we do we tell people this is what you have to do? Right? The answer is no, never. But what is the Gemara talking about in Erevin, maybe? The Chaver feels guilty that the Amaretz might violate a bigger Isser. Do we allow him to do an Isser Klila to prevent the Amaretz from doing a... Not do we obligate him, do we allow him? But the very idea that there could be a Rishus is an interesting, interesting argument. We find this in a number of other... I mean, I'll give you a simple... it's not comparable at all. We talk in Sukkah. Right? When you make a bracha, when you eat in the Sukkah. So, there are rules, right? There's a debate about what the rules are. But there are rules. There are some Rishonim, some Akronim, who say, well, here... it's a choice. Very rare. Rabbeinu Manoach, right? In certain cases. There's some gaonim about Rosh Hashanah. We spoke about this many times also. Right? Do you fast on Rosh Hashanah or you're obligated to eat? Those are the two views that we mostly discuss. There's a middle view in the gaonim that seems to say that you have the choice. You have the personal choice. I always speak about Rosh Hashanah as a day of personal choice because there's so much to choose from. Right? So there's a famous discussion also in the Halacha L'maisa, very, very critical case, you know, in general, should somebody be nichnas l'safek b'kuach nefesh to save someone else from a vadai b'kuach nefesh? Right? So they say it's a Babli or a Pursu Shalmi, and there's a famous tshuva of the Radvaz who says you can't force somebody to do that, but if he volunteers... permissible. Meaning the idea of volunteering, you know, in issues like this is not at all simple. The idea that there's like a gray area in which there's personal choice. So in some cases, that's why I say the Sukkah case may not be such a good example. The Sukkah case may just be that the gray area, according to that small group who think that there is a gray area, there's a gray area about personal assessment. In other words, the question is Teshvu Kein Taduru. Right, you're supposed to treat the sukkah like your headquarters, and you know, some people a snack is a snack, and for other people a snack is a meal, and for some people a meal is a snack. You know, so the halacha has, you know,
no consequences.
What?
No consequences.
Meaning, as long as there can be a little bit of flexibility in how people perceive to, you know, their eating patterns. So the rule, there's no flexibility, and if something is considered to be like a significant meal, it should be eaten in the sukkah. If something is a snack, it's a roi, it should be out of the sukkah. But can you say that, now, mostly we say, oh, if you're going to eat bread, you're going to eat a kibetza, you're going to eat, that's one thing. If you're going to drink a cup of wine, have a cup of water, you know, less even than whatever, that's also clear that that's a roi. Can there be an area which to one man is a roi and another man is not? Or even, you know, one day he sees this as, you know, as something that is more serious and another day not, or you know, his attachment to the sukkah comes into it in terms of that part of it. There's a subjective, in other words, element. Here it's not a subjective element. That's why it's a little more of a chiddush. Like the machnes hatzmo suffix sakana also. That's a very, though, you know, it's the question whether or not personal choice, right, ever comes into these kind of decisions. I happen to like it very much. I think, you know, you wouldn't want it too much, but here and there, the idea you can make certain sacrifices, right? You're not allowed to sacrifice under condition A, but you know, you're a suffix, you know, sakana for his vadai hatzala is not something we can impose on you, but it's something we can appreciate for you. Similarly, the Ritva came up with this idea in Chatei. I can't ask you, I can't force you to do this. Right? But maybe I can allow you to do it. It's a value. It's a kiyum, basically. So look at the Ritva. The Chiyom Aladam, same question. Skip down to line number 40. In the second half of line 40. The Ode, Hasam Lemiftere Miser Tav. First of all, before this, this is part of your question. You were asking about, you know, Onshim and Mezid and Hasam Lemiftere Miser Tavel Shu Bemisa. Right, even though not much shogi, but v'hacha eno lepatro mamon de carbon. That's different than the Ramban's answer. Ramban was saying, you know, the carbon is good for him; it neutralizes the avera. The Ritva saying, you know, one is money; he brings a carbon. Maybe also like Ramban that, you know, that it neutralizes the onesh, but I is an economic outlay. Right. But here, we're talking about tevel, tachiv misa. What's the cost and what's the benefit in each case? Okay, fine. The ode is the part that I'm referring to. Hasam avid minafshe in Erevin. No one told him to do it. The question is, can he do it? Is he allowed to do it? He volunteers. He wants to do it. He feels guilty or he feels very, you know, arev-like. You know, whatever. V'hacha minan she'ein omrim lochein. I mean, we don't demand it of him. We don't tell him to do it. That's a very important distinction. Similarly, the Ritva and Erevin, the next piece, look at, again, this starts in the Sugya Erevin, right? So the question is Shabbos. Start from Shabbos, the question is Erevin, right? Nichal chaver lavin yisur zutav lavin amar sisaraba. Hod arminim aperakam in the Shabbos of Yom Adam amod chato yisur chaver chafil alibidram rabbi asya. Shiny hasam sheim lebezdin lo malochein elim kenu osa meatzmo. Other rishonim don't make this distinction. I believe they will tell you that this is not voluntary. Either you're obligated or you're prohibited, because we're talking about doing an aveira to save your neighbor from a bigger aveira. Right? If you're not allowed to do it, you're not allowed to do it. The Ritva says no. It's a gray area. You can look at yourself as part of the tzibur, or you can be chote b'shvil chavercha. Oh. Then he has another ha'ara, and that is, this is something that the Ramban and the Rajba say in Gittin as well. Just as I show you, it's a kind of a little bit of a window into some of the each issue is interesting, right? Like we talked about, you know, the Kohanim shluchei, you know, didan. That's a tzibur, or Korban Pesach being, you know, a different kind of halacha. Or Piri of Arivia, maybe being a din of the Rabbim, you know, or maybe Minyan just being a din of Rabbah, you know. So, okay. So he has the horror here, I just have it here, but really Ramban said it much earlier in Gittin. Like part of the problems of the Gemaras are the problems of Chatzi Shivcha, Chatzi Baschorin, Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chorin, right? So, and what's the problem, or the Minyan Gemara? What's the problem there? How do we allow it? It seems like we say chatei kedei sheyiska, because we allow the shichur even though it's the olam ha'em savodu. We allow it for a period of arivya. We allow it to prevent the iser's nus. We allow it to make the minyan. So the Ramban says, that's what the Ritva is quoting here as well. The Yishlomar, this is line 9, the asev olam ha'em savodu kill tuba afidu l'milui bei asara. He doesn't consider the filling the minyan to be a davar chamor. He thinks exactly the opposite. It can even be the shachar of the Eved to fulfill the minyan. Fulfilling the minyan isn't so impressive for the Ritva. That's an interesting little window too. But why? Because below hikpida Torah elishalol the shachar b'toras nedava the machzik lo tova of a kol she'osa l'shum dvar mitzvah shari afilu be'eved shivcha gemura kol shekem b'shachatzir ben chorin the leis aliyase. The Ramban basically says this idea The Torah's Isser of La'ola Ba'em Savodu is only us. It's not an objective Isser to be Meshachar and Eved. The Isser is to be Meshachar and Eved gratuitously, for no reason. If there's a reason, there's no Isser. Not that the reason overrides the Isser. The Isser is only if it's gratuitous, if there's no reason.
It's like it's telling a lo sechanim.
It's a kind of a lo sechanim. Right? You shouldn't just be doing it as a, out of a favor, out of a favor. Or maybe out of liberalism, I'm not sure. But, you know, to fulfill the minyan, you know, to help with period of arrivia, to prevent, you know, some other michshol in terms of nus, that's not a violation of lo sechanim. That has nothing to do with this topic anymore. The only way this is part of the topic is, it's a chatei kedei sheyizkeh, right? There's no chatei here. The kedei sheyizkeh dictates that there's no chatei, because it's no longer dichdi, it's no longer for no reason. Okay. So that's then, when it comes to the Aveles, he says something also fascinating, similar to the Ramban, but a little bit different. Look at line 12. Mi wakati kasha. You're allowed to take off this mum. Right? You're normally not allowed to do that. So the Yeshlamar, the Tikkun Kohanim, Lamod Lashares, B'Shem Hashem, Shiny. Before we talked about the Kohanim themselves as being a Tzibur Din vis a vis Klal Yisrael. Now he's saying to be Matshur Akoin Lavoda, right? L'shem Hashem, that's a Klal Yisrael matter. Fascinating. Again, this week's Parshas Bamidbar. It talks about the Leviim, you know, being, both a shlichus of the Kohanim and a shlichus of Klal Yisrael. Basically, the idea that Klal Yisrael really have a chelik in the, you know, in the avoda. In that sense, you know, tikkun kohen l'shares, you know, is a matter for all, even every individual kohen. That's a chiddush of it. It's really a tzibur halacha. Yeah. Okay. What's left? I say I'm going to have to stop, but I just we'll just complete this next week. What's left is the following. You asked me about mezid and so on, right? So the following fascinating issue. It's clear just when you look at this topic how important it is, obviously, hashkafically and halachically. But there are really crucial issues. So the Raj, just going to read the question, the Rajbo was asked about the following case, a very famous discussion. Od nishal b'isha shod siyami beisa b'shabes b'chazka al yedei Yisrael Meshumad. There was this Yisrael Meshumad, and he kidnapped this girl, this woman, right? Lo tziya mechal Yisrael. He's a Meshumad, and he wanted to kidnap her and take her over to the non-Jews. And the question that the Rajbo was asked was, "Im mutar l'shloach ba'adavia shehu b'irach eretz b'shabes afilu chutz l'gimel parsos l'man d'sfir le'detchum gimel parsos doraisa." Wow. When I say wow here, I'm not saying wow, maybe you can do it. I'm saying wow, this is a shaila that maybe you can't do it. Meaning, can you violate Tchum to get the father to prevent her from being kidnapped to Shmad on Shabbos or not? So believe it or not, the Rajba says, it's a double believe it or not, but it's an inspiring double believe it or not, which it's inspiring because we don't pass in that way, so it's okay. The Heshev Shadavar Tzarech Talmud. Meaning he says, what's inspiring about that? Meaning it's a Shaila, so, you know, it's not, you don't act on emotion, you have to look at the Makaros. This is Halacha, this is very serious, you know. Can you do an Easter here to prevent what's seemingly a much bigger, you know, miscarriage of justice? Yeah, this question has to be taken seriously. And you have to start quoting our Gemara in Shabbos and the Gemara in Erevin and all these other things. It would be called Makom, Kakhtati note, the Sha'asur, She'ein Dochen as a Shabbos, Al Hatzolam and Aveira, She'ein Armam Adam Amod Vachateke, Neshizka Chavercha. And then he starts quoting our Gemara. The Rajba, who is like one of the major poskim of all time, as we know, we have more shells to chew us than anybody. The Rajma actually paskin that you cannot violate Shabbos. It's a shocking thing. But you know, you go to the Sahar, the Makoros say you can't do it, you can't do it. It's easier for us to be inspired by this because the Beis Yosef and Lahalacha, everybody paskins against it. The Beis Yosef says, no, you have to do it. Not only can you do it, you have to, you know, prevent this. And then he explains why. But partially, it's these different answers in Tosas, right? Which of the answers in Tosas do we postulate?
The Suffolk and Solo too.
What? So part of it is, and so then the Poskim say, and what if it wasn't like somebody being kidnapped? Let's say it was somebody who intentionally, the Mazen, wanted to do this kind of an Avera. And you could stop that. Should you stop even a Mazen? There's no Pshia. That's what you're asking me, right? So we'll pick up with this just a little bit. The Rajba, the Beis Yosef, some of the Poskim and Shulchan Aruch, just to see how this plays out. And then we'll move on next week to Dalad Omer Beis.